Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land.
And we are back. Welcome to another episode of Voices of New Africa. I am your host, Brother Prophecy, a.k.a. Yera Amadi, and this is the Voices of New Africa, the show dedicated to the liberation of new African people. And we are trying to liberate ourselves from the stranglehold, the hands, the grips of the system of white supremacy, the system of colonialism, neocolonialism, capitalism, and imperialism. And as always, this is the place where we bring together some of the brightest minds in the new African community to shed some perspective, to discuss topics that are relevant to the liberation of our people. And we have a great topic today. You know, a lot of times we talk about problems. We always talk about the problems. We all know what the problems are. We discuss the problems in length. We know that our community, problems in our community range from crime, poverty, the breakdown in the family structure, mass incarceration, police brutality, and we can go on all day. But we want to deal with what are the actual causes to the problems in our community. I mean, let's just take one for example. And before I get into that, today on our show, we're going to be joined by Brother Kakai, Sister Ayo Deli, Sister Saanxa, and our local historian here, Brother Fadali. But as I said before, we talk about all of these problems, but now, what are the true causes to these problems? What's the root of the problem? I mean, let's take poverty, for example. Poverty is such an issue in our community, the new African community or the black community, because, you know, our people are just naturally lazy. Is it embedded within our DNA not to get a job or to want to be supported by the government on welfare? I mean, that is the stereotype that prevails through the mainstream European philosophical ideological thought process and way of life. But is that truly the problem? Or is it something deeper? Is there a problem? Is it systemic? Does it lie within the relationship between our people in a system which has been founded on white supremacy in a colonial relationship? And I have on the line, is this Brother Kakai? Who do I have online? The 292 number.
Free the land. This is Sister Ayo.
Oh yeah, so okay, Sister Ayo Deli. Okay, all right. Our great sister, a great educator in the community. So, what do you think? What are the true causes of not crime, but poverty in our community?
Well, it has to be related back to the whole system of capitalism and imperialism. Which is in its very nature a system which controls and takes the natural resources, the wealth, the energy of the people to perpetuate only a few. So we're talking about a system that doesn't even really have the capabilities of having a job for everyone. And they know that. That's why they had to come up with a welfare system, a social security system, a system where they had to appease the masses rather than have mass, what you call rebellion. They had to come up with a way. It started back after even World War II, World War I, where they knew that they could not come back. They could not sustain an employment system that would give people decent jobs for fair pay, and it has come down, and it actually goes back to its historical nature. First of all, we as African people were brought here to build wealth quickly, to build a system quickly, and if you do the mathematics, how do you calculate the numbers of Africans who were enslaved for over 300 years with no pay? So from its very nature, they never wanted to, but I'm talking specifically about our community, to pay us. And when they did, they came up with the minimum wage, Jim Crow type of economic system, and it has never straightened itself out. The only time when we were a little bit more viable was when they did come with a system of separation and segregation, where we had to build our own, do business with one another, where the money, the economic source, could rotate so many times within the system to at least give us a little relief. But we don't have that type of economic system since we decided to integrate. We are now facing a situation where the majority of our people are either being taken care of by the state or they are being employed by state apparatus, which means big corporations, school systems, hospitals, the army, the military, so on and so forth. And this is creating a very, it's causing a great disparity within the economics in our community. It's not because we don't want to work. Where are the jobs? If they came today and gave us some viable jobs, they couldn't employ the thousands, the millions of people that are unemployed today. The system doesn't have that capability.
You brought up some excellent points in which I want to follow up with. First, you talked about the system of capitalism, which, you know, in our previous episode last week, we talked about how capitalism is not designed to make sure that everyone has the necessary resources in order to survive. You know, it's designed to gain the maximum profit for the ruling elite, and by its very nature, it's like a playing musical chairs. You know, everybody is not going to get a seat. So by its very design, poverty is built in and it creates it. And especially since the system of capitalism was built off of the backs of African people, it is especially detrimental to us because we were never intended to play a major role in the economic system except for to be the ones who are exploited by this economic system. So that's an excellent point. But the other point that you brought up that I think that we neglect a lot, the one we don't like to talk about, was the effects of integration. Because during the period of segregation, there was something that we were forced to do. We were forced to support our own. We were forced to create an economic system in which we controlled ourselves. So, you know, we had a economy. We practiced collective work and responsibility. But once we integrated and the desegregation movement came into effect, most of our businesses, because we have been conditioned we have been programmed under this system of white supremacy, and the very nature of a conquered people is to glorify its conqueror's society and civilization. We automatically just closed down our businesses, closed down our schools, and we ran to try to be with our captors, with our oppressors, thinking with the mindset of white supremacy, thinking that is superior and that's going to be the best out for us. And it's had a devastating effect on us because we are here in 2016 and we collectively run in no industry. I mean, we don't even control the hair product industry. You know, no people in the world has hair like African people, and African women buy their hair care products from Korean people. So, I mean, this is you brought up some excellent points, but I want to move on to Sister Sa'anxa. Sister Sa'anxa, are you there? Hello, Sister Sa'anxa. Oh, I'm sorry, I got you muted, sister.
Good morning. Free the land.
Good morning, Sister Sa'anxa. Free the land. I am, I will. So, we're talking about what are the true causes of poverty right now? Do you have any thoughts on that, sister?
Yes, well, the true causes of poverty right now are the lack of resources. And we as a people, of course, have been lacking resources since we got over here. We're brought here through the transatlantic slave trade. So, we have been lacking resources ever since then. So, that is most definitely the true causes of poverty. The ruling class control most of the resources, 90%, 95%, 99% of the resources, while we're struggling and striving to just share 1%. That makes no sense. So, of course, we're impoverished.
Exactly, sister. And I mean, that goes back to what we've always talked about, the systemic issue, the systemic nature, the greedy nature of the system of capitalism, of imperialism, of colonialism, of neo-colonialism. Its purpose is to gather and maintain control over almost all of the resources over the planet, and primarily for a hand group of people, a small minority group of people who refer to themselves as white people. You know, they've created this global system that allows them to prosper at the hands and expense and exploitation of the other people, the indigenous, the non-white people around the world, across the globe. And mathematically, if we just look at the math, then it's easy, it's clear to see why poverty exists, not only in the United States, but globally. I mean, this is a global system. So, excellent point. Do I have Brother Kakayi on the line? Is Brother Kakayi there?
Yes, Free the Land. This is Brother Kakayi. How are you?
I'm fine. Free the Land. I am, I will. So, you've been listening in. What are your thoughts? What are the true causes of poverty in our community? I mean, is it because new African people are just lazy? We don't want to work. We want other people to take care of us? Or is it something deeper, as the other speakers have alluded to? What do you think, brother?
Well, the dynamics of poverty has a number of levels that we have to deal with in order to understand it. And because one of the levels of dysfunction in our community of understanding that is education. See, we're dealing with prey, predators, and predators tend to thrive on the ignorance of the masses. So when we talk about education, it supports, maintains, and controls the way we think and the condition we are in. So if you have a lot of people of ignorance that are subjects in this system, then they don't understand that the laws are set up to impoverish you, that the educational system is set up to impoverish you. And that's beyond the fact that the main cause of our impoverishment is the lack of resources. So we have to tackle each concept individually, because the predators have dumbed us to a point of ignorance that we have to explain literally every aspect that is causing us to be in this condition we are in. So let's just talk about the law. In certain aspects, we think that the ignorant part of our masses of people here in the United States don't understand that laws are created to keep us impoverished. You know, they just, in Memphis, Tennessee alone, they just created a law that states that if you're caught in your car without insurance, your car can be confiscated. So who is that directed towards? You know, people who are living paycheck to paycheck, working at a minimum wage, who are struggling to pay their rent, buy food, and then the first thing that they're going to lack as far as their responsibility is paying their car insurance. So now you got us impoverished to a point where we can't keep a car, not because we can't afford to have it, but it's because we can't afford to adhere to the laws that they've created. And there's a number of different laws that are directed towards African people that keep us impoverished. When you talk about the resources, it's obvious. As predators, they have taken all the resources, decided what they're going to do with the resources, create, develop, and change the raw resources into something that they can sell back to us at a greater cost. So obviously we're going to be impoverished. Even with every aspect of our lives, we are affected. And that's why we're in poverty. It's a complicated question because we have to go into details on every aspect, on every level of how they are maintaining their dominance and keeping us impoverished. I mean, if you want to talk at lengths about the educational system and how it does, how it affects us. If you want to talk about the legal system, the courts, the judicial system, how it affects us, we can go on for days and days. And we haven't talked about the main causes, like the sisters alluded to, the lack of resources. So, I mean, when we talk about a capitalist system, let's put it in perspective. This system is not designed for us as African people, except for the right to exploit and oppress us. And when we can understand that as a people, we understand that there's a lot of different areas that we have to change. And when we talked about how we, before segregation, before integration, came together collectively and developed an economic system within our community that worked for us, that surpassed any system that the oppressors had maintained us in, they blew it up. They attacked us because they knew that the idea of collective cooperation, collective economics, is the answer. So they have to eliminate any example of anything that would work for us.
Exactly. I want to make sure we get in our local historian and master teacher, Brother Fadali. Brother Fadali, are you here? Brother Fadali, are you on the phone, brother? Hello, Brother Fadali. Okay, let me ask this. Who is this from the 484 phone number? Okay, seem like I'm having technical difficulties with some of our callers. But exactly, Brother Kakai, as you pointed out, we have to understand the systems which run our society and make our society, such as you said, the justice system, the legal system, the educational system, and we must understand how they emerge and the purpose for these systems, because in order to understand how societies work, you have to understand the foundating systems, and that is the economic system, because all other systems emerge from the economic systems, and they emerge in order to support, upheld, justify whatever economic system in which we have. And when I say we have, I mean, you know, the system, this U.S. system, not necessarily us, because, you know, I don't necessarily claim this system is ours, but the system in which we are being dominated under, which is capitalism, which is based on exploitation, which is based on greed, which is based on racism. And it is designed to gain the maximizing profit for the ruling elite at the expense of especially African people, new African people. So if we understand that, and we understand that, like, the educational system emerged out of that, and our educational system is going to be designed to support the economic system. So they're not going to teach us African people, especially when our role within this economic system is to be the exploited, to be a form of cheap labor, entertainment for white folks, to be the ultimate consumer. When we understand that that is our role within the system, then within the educational system, they're going to provide an education that is going to teach us how to be just that, to be cheap labor, how to be the ultimate consumer. So these things are important to understand, but we want to move on. What are the causes of crime in the community? So can I hear my sister, Ayodele? Are you still with us?
Yes, brother, I'm still with us.
Okay, Sister Ayodele, we talked about poverty. So let's move on. And I know that poverty and crime, you know, it's kind of connected. It's like one leads to the other. So what are the causes of crime? Are we just naturally cursed or naturally violent? Is it embedded within our DNA? to be overly aggressive and violent and thieves and other things that this European inside the box ideological philosophical thought process or mindset would have us believe. Is that the truth, or is there something a little deeper meaning for the crime in our community? What are your thoughts?
I think the very nature of the way you posed your question is, remember that we have been here in America since 1619, maybe a little bit before then. However, the whole nature of a people being subjugated, a people being seasoned, people taken to Jamaica first before brought to America, the stress, and of course the whole Ma'afa concept of trying to defeat a people, to take away their language, to take away their culture. You're talking about people who have been almost programmed on a daily basis for more than 300 years to always look up to a Caucasoid, a Caucasian concept of beauty, of work, when by nature the African is more communal. The African shares. The African takes care of its women, of its children. So by nature, by our nature as an African human being, the first human being on this earth, if we are in a situation where we cannot take care of our women and our children, and that there's pressure in the community and the society to make sure that we have those things. Now, some of those things may be a little distorted, but the fact that our children need clothes, our children need a place to stay, our women need food to cook, water, and if we can't get it by man's ability to work and to provide, then we go to the next level. And oftentimes, because of the environment in which we live, we aggress upon each other, and then we go outside of the community. It doesn't mean by nature that's who we are. It is the condition under which we have to live as the descendants of an enslaved people who have never been given an apology or compensation for that blight against humanity. There is not a people on this earth that can claim through their genetics or their culture that has happened to them for 300 years consecutively. And that is the legacy in which we are living, because we have been a conquered people. We have been people who have struggled and fought from day one. And crime, in my opinion, is still the manifestation of a people continuing to struggle to just be at a basic balance with food, clothing, shelter, and just the basic needs that we need in our life.
Excellent point. I want to hear from my brother, Kakai. You still there, brother? Brother Kakai, you still there, brother?
Yeah, I'm still here. Free land, brother. Yes, I'm still here.
I am my will.
And I want to just say that we need to be quite frank with our people. We are a conquered people. We are an oppressed people. We are people that take on the culture and the ways of the oppressor. We have to recognize that as a conquered and oppressed people, we take on the language of our oppressor. We take on the clothing of our oppressor. We take on the food of our oppressor. We take on the ways of our oppressor. And so we have to understand that if our oppressor is keeping us as subjects, they're not going to design a system that's in favor of us. This system promotes, creates, and supports the negativity in our community. And once we recognize that its fundamental foundation is designed to work exactly the way it's working, we got to stop talking about issues that will reform a system that is designed to destroy us. Let's get that out of our head. Capitalism was designed to oppress the conquered people, and anything that's beneficial from that system will be only beneficial for the oppressor. We got to change it. We got to recognize that everything that we do today has to be done outside of the box, because the solution will not come from within. And we have to recognize that. We have to tell our people that so they can wake up and understand what people have to deal with and the solutions that we have to come up to become free people and not oppressed people.
All right, brother. Yeah, I feel you. I feel you. You had a lot of fire. That's what I'm talking about, brother. Made me want to say hallelujah on this Sunday morning. Preach. All right. okay. So, sister, so answer. Are you still there, sister?
Yes, free the land, brother. I'm still here.
I am. I will free the land. So, what do you think? What are the causes of crime? You know, do you agree with the speeches? All right. Yeah. Go right ahead.
Well, first of all, since we are a conquered people, and the system that has conquered us is built on crime, and since we have taken on their ways, taken on their language, taken on their culture, taken on their we've taken on all the ways. So if we are not working, and there's not enough jobs, or there is, since the system is based upon white supremacy and racism and all of that, you know, you can be totally qualified for jobs and still denied because of who you are. So, by any means necessary, as a people, we're going to survive. We survive. That's what we do. We survive. If one thing we do, we're going to survive by any means necessary. And since we have taken on the ways of our oppressor, who are criminals, stolen land, stolen language, stolen lives. Thugs, the biggest thugs you will ever see is imperialism. Point blank, mm-hmm. Period. Capitalism. The biggest thugs. So how dare they look at us trying to survive and point the finger?
Exactly. I'm having some technical difficulties trying to get contact Brother Fadali. I see him on the line, but I'm not getting through. Brother Fadali, are you there? Hello, Brother Fadali. Oh, that's such a shame, because I do enjoy, and we are always enlightened by the insights of our brother. But since we can't get him on the line, and we are running out of time, before we leave, we always want to talk about some solutions. We want to talk about, you know, don't want to just talk about the problem, because then that would kind of be hypocritical, because that's what everybody do. We all know problems, but we want to deal with some solutions. What are some of the solutions to the problems in our community? What are the solutions to crime? What are the solutions to poverty and others that we haven't had the opportunity to get to? So I'll open the floor to you, Sister Iodelli. What are some of the solutions to the problems of our people?
Education is one. I would say, free the land, brother, education. And education, that means that I'm just sending our children to school, but educating ourselves, being able to step out of an educational system that seeks to make us subjects rather than independent thinkers. I think that we have to continue to talk to our children, to educate them as to the real nature of who we are, that this so-called multiracial system that we live in is a system of oppression and racism. And either way we turn it, we need to let them know, really, because they are going to be the inheritors of this system when we pass on. We need to also think about looking within. How do we turn within to look at each other with not the hate that this system has made us look at each other with, that if your skin is melanated, if your hair is tightly curled, if your lips are broad and your nose is wide and your skin happens to be darker than what they feel is comfortable, that we look at each other with hate rather than love and begin to work together and institute the seven principles of blackness: unity, self-determination, cooperative economics. And that's work. And we keep saying it. You have to work on yourself and get rid of all of those hates and hurt and all those other things that we bring with us into the relationships and into the society and into whatever we, however we live our lives, and be able to look and see that we're fighting not against one another, but against the system of oppression, against the system of racism, against a system of impoverishment that seeks to make us look like the criminalized when their whole system is built on criminality. They took this land, decimated the indigenous people, brought us in to work this land, and now make us seem as if we are the people who are to be looked at with loathing and fear. Yes, they have something to fear, because when we wake up and understand our role in helping this system become an empire that has changed the entire world, everybody's going to be saying, wait a minute, the whole world is going to wake up. The whole world is going to say, you're out of order. Capitalism, imperialism, white supremacy, and racism is out of order, and it must and it is going to fall.
Exactly, exactly. Excellent point. Let me hear from my sister, Saanxa. Saanxa, are you here?
Yes.
Saanxa, you still here? So what do you think are some of the possible solutions? Free the land, I am, I will. What are some of the possible solutions to really solve many of the problems in which our people face?
Point blank, on every single level of our lives, we're going to have to step out of this box. We have to step out of this box of oppression, step out of this box of capitalism, step out of this box of white supremacy. We have to recognize what it is and step out, get back to our African selves, our culture, our names, educating ourselves, doing for ourselves, providing for ourselves. Like Mama Ayo mentioned, implementing all the seven principles. That's what we have to do. We're going to have to step out of the box on every single level imaginable, because we have been destroyed on every level. So to rebuild, we have to step out of the box and rebuild for ourselves.
Exactly, exactly. Well said. Brother Kakayi, you still there, brother?
Yes, I'm still here, brother. Yeah, you are. Yes, I am.
Right. Yes, sir.
A quick wrap up. I guess you would say, you know, all of us in the conscious citizens of the Republic of New Africa understand that education is the foundation to change the mindset of our people. But once we begin to change that mindset of our people, we'll realize and understand that the solutions to our problem will not be advantageous to the oppressor. The oppressor will complain about us doing things that adversely affects them. So when we talk about what the solution is that we need to treat out each and every one of us with the guidelines of the seven principles of blackness, but at the same time, by any means necessary, do we eliminate all respect for when it comes down to the legalization of acts that support and maintain this system. Once we have an educational system designed to change the mindset of our people, we'll understand what's right for us and what's right for us when we're dealing with the oppressor, because those are two different answers. And if you don't have the right education and foundation behind you, you won't understand how you are supposed to not react but respond to an oppressive system that's designed to exploit and destroy and oppress us. So fundamentally, let's get the education together so we'll understand what the seven principles of blackness are, and we'll be able to understand what's right for us and what's right for us to do when we are confronted with the atrocities of this oppressive nation.
All right, well said, brother, well said. And I'm sorry that we didn't get an opportunity to hear from our great brother Fagali, our master teacher, our local historian, but we are just about out of time. In closing, I will say this. We understand clearly that most of the problems, if not all of the problems in which our people face here, stern from the relationship that our people have with the system, and that is a colonial relationship. We have a colonial relationship with the United States government, with the system of racism and white supremacy, with the system of capitalism, with the system of imperialism and neocolonialism. This system was designed to make maximum profit off of our backs, off of our collective exploitation. So if we understand that this system was not created to benefit us, to benefit us collectively. Now, individuals, a few individuals can gain wealth within the system, but collectively as a whole, this system is designed to benefit from our collective exploitation. If we understand that, then we have to make a conscious decision, a decision to get out of this system, get from this system, replace this system, destroy this system, and create a system of our own, a system in which we can control, in which we dictate what the economic system is, because clearly we understand that capitalism is about the exploitation of humanity for the benefit of few. Therefore, we can create an alternative to that. We can create an educational system that elevates and allows us to reach us our highest level of human potential. We can create a justice system that is truly just. And in fact, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. In 1968, March 31st, to be exact, many of our elders, and most of them are now ancestors, came together, met in secret, and declared our independence, set up a provisional government, outlined how we should implement the government, what our code of conduct should be, what our bylaws should be, what our constitution should be, created the New African Creed. That's the Republic of New Africa. We have to pick up the struggle of our ancestors and struggle for nationhood, struggle for independence, struggle for self-government, struggle for self-determination. And until we get the land, that's why we say free the land, because the foundation of freedom is land. If we don't have land, then we can't create a system. There'll be nowhere for us to create, to implement this system that is just and it benefits us collectively. But until we can obtain the land, until we can free the land, then we have to implement many of the strategies and the cultures and the principles in which our ancestors left us. We have to implement the Nguzo Saba, the principle, seven principles of blackness in our day-to-day lives. We have to practice cooperative economics. We have to practice collective work and responsibility. We have to unite on a common cause for the collective liberation of our people. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. You know, we have to create educational systems, schools in which we can control. We have to create an economy in which we control. These are the instructions left by our ancestors. All we have to do is be smart enough to pick it up and implement. My name is Brother Prophecy, a.k.a. Yera. I want to thank all of my guests, Sister Saansa, Sister Ayodele, Brother Kakaye, and Brother Fadali, which I'm sorry we couldn't get the brother on the line. But until next week, be safe. Continue the fight for the liberation of our people. Free the land.
Free the land.